So the title of my message today is The Egyptians You See Today. The Egyptians You See Today. From the biblical perspective, Egyptians, I'm not referring to the present-day Egypt, the Egyptians of the Bible. Egypt in the Bible was like a place of idol worship, where the king believed that he was God. It's a place of slavery, betrayal, hypocrisy, pain, hunger, bloodshed. And when you look at our world today, you will see all about us. You see that the Egyptians are really near. When you see or hear about the earthquake that happened in Morocco that took 2,800 lives, when you hear about the bombing and the destruction of life and properties in Ukraine, when you hear about the tsunamis, when you hear about Bible being turned upside down, men marrying men, women marrying women, when you hear and see all these things that are going on in the world today, you will see that the Egyptians are very close. They are right on our door. We must be aware of this. But Bible offers us hope, just like Moses did when the people came out from Egypt and they were on their way to the promised land, and the Egyptians came after them and they turned around and they saw the Egyptians coming and they raised their voice in complaint, calling on Moses. Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that brought us out to come and die here? And this was what Moses said to them. If you turn to Exodus 14. Exodus 14. Exodus 14, 13. Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever." That's what the Bible is promising us. That's what this day is reminding us, that all the pain and the suffering that we see today, all the atrocities and the bloodshed that we see today, very soon when Jesus Christ returns, we will see them no more. They will be there no more. We will not hear that someone have died. We will not hear that someone have lost a family member. We will not hear anyone crying or weeping. We will not hear about bloodshed. We will not hear about earthquake. We will not hear about all these things that are going on in the world again today. The Bible tells us, gives us this hope, that the troubles that we see today, we will see them no more. And it is my intention today, in this sermon, to take you through how God planned to bring this to pass. If you turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 2. Daniel, chapter 2. Daniel 2. The king of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, was so worried. He was worried about what would happen after him. And God gave him a vision. God revealed to him, and he saw a great image with different makeups. Some parts of it were gold, silver, clay, iron. And he was so worried. And he started seeking for interpretation. Of course, no other person gave him interpretation except Daniel. When Daniel came, if you turn to 2:28. Daniel said to the king, "But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. The dream and the vision of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thought came into thy mind upon thy bed what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secret, make it known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have, more than any living, but for their sake that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mayest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of gold, his breast and his arm of silver, the belly and the thigh of brass, the leg of iron, feet, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest still a stone was cut out without hand, which smote the image upon his feet, the wear of iron and clay, and break them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art the king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowl of heaven, hath he given into thy hand, and have made thee ruler over them all. Thou art the head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with merry clay. And as the toe of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with merry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seeds of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest, the stone was cut out of the mountain without hand, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God had made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation is sure. So God revealed this to King Nebuchadnezzar, what will happen. A stone that's cut without hand will fall upon this earth, and it will crush the entire human civilization. It will crush immorality. It will crush wickedness. It will crush sin of all forms. It will crush pain, suffering, death, ultimately. This is the hope that we have. And this stone represents the day of trumpet, which is today. This stone represents the day of trumpet. And that stone is Jesus Christ, when he will return to judge this world and to establish God's kingdom here on earth. If you turn to 1 Thessalonians 4:16, where we've read two times, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remaining shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The dead in Christ will rise first. So this means there will be more than one resurrection. There's going to be more than one resurrection. The dead in Christ will rise first at the return of Jesus Christ. And they will rule with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years before the rest of the dead will be resurrected. And if you turn to 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? So Jesus Christ will return with the shout of a trumpet, and the dead in Christ will rise first. What happens after the dead in Christ, after the first resurrection or the first fruits? What happens? What are the steps? Today is trumpet, and the next holy day is the Day of Atonement. You know, God tells us all these things. These are the order in which God will remove all the pain and all the sufferings that we see in this world. Today is the Day of Trumpets. We turn to Revelation 20. This is the next step, the next thing that Christ will do. Revelation 21. Revelation 20, verse 1. After Jesus Christ returns, and the dead in Christ resurrected, this is what Jesus will do next. And I saw an angel, Revelation 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him to the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after 1,000 years, he must be loosed a little season. So Jesus Christ will lay hold on Satan and remove him for 1,000 years. And this is what the Day of Atonement represents. That is the next step. After the return of Jesus Christ, then he will remove Satan and put him away for 1,000 years. For 1,000 years. And the world will know peace and have peace for 1,000 years. And this represents the Day of Atonement. And that is what we'll be celebrating on the 25th of this month. But today is trumpet. Jesus Christ will first of all return. And when he returns, he will remove Satan. Wow. If you also go to the same Revelation, to Revelation 20 from verse 4. Let's continue to read. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the soul of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So the first fruits will live and reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. But they shall be the priests, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. And Mr. Moraz was asking us, are we ready? Are we ready to be part of the first fruit? The Bible said, blessed are those that will be part of the first resurrection. Are we ready? So Jesus Christ will return. Then he will remove Satan completely. And that is what we're talking about when we talk about the Day of Atonement. He will remove Satan. And what else? What will happen? And he says that the first fruit, that they will reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. And that is the Feast of Tabernacles. That is the Feast of Tabernacles. If you turn to Isaiah 2, Isaiah 2 from verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days, Isaiah 2:2, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow unto it. Remember in the book of Daniel, Daniel saw, King Nebuchadnezzar saw that little stone that fell, that was cut without a hand, that fell on the image and crushed the image. And then that little stone grew and became a great mountain and covered the world and covered the entire earth. And here it's saying, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go unto the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his way, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. He will rebuke them. Why are you killing yourselves? Why are you doing all these nonsenses that are going on? And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. So Jesus Christ will remove Satan, and he will rebuke the nations, and they will not train for war no more. There will be peace in the world for 1,000 years. There will be peace in the world. And people will go to the mountain of God to learn. But when Jesus Christ returns, there will still be people in this world. When the dead in Christ rise first, there will still be people living in this world. But they will go to the place where the mountain of the Lord's house is established. And they will go there and learn. Just like the way God communicated to Adam and Eve before Satan came. God was a spirit. And Adam and Eve, they were flesh, but they heard the voice of God. God taught them, and they heard God. So when Jesus Christ removes Satan, the people will go and learn from the house of God. And if you also go to Isaiah 11, so the priests of God and Jesus Christ, they will be doing a work. Isaiah 11:11. Isaiah 11:11. And it shall come to pass in the last day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnants of his people. We shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Petros and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. So God will recover his people the second time. And this will happen at the return of Jesus Christ during the Feast of Tabernacle. So we have the Feast of Trumpet, the return of Jesus Christ, the Feast of Days of Day of Atonement, the removal of Satan, and the world we have peace. And if you also go to the same Isaiah 11:6, all these times are talking about the Feast of Tabernacle, a time of peace. But it starts with the trumpet, the return of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 11:6, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the child, little child, shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hose of the ass, and the winged child shall put his hand on the crocodile's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as water covers the sea. This is God's plan for 1,000 years. And today we are celebrating. We are looking forward for the return of Jesus Christ. And when he returns, he will remove Satan completely and lock him up for 1,000 years. And he will establish peace on earth. And God's people and other people that God wants to teach his words, the people that God wants to give an opportunity to hear his words, especially people that have not had God's word. You know, when they were in Egypt, if you remember when they were in Egypt, they stayed in Egypt for a very long time. And in the process, they forgot their God. They forgot their religion. So what about those people? God is going to recover all of them. They will hear the word of God. God is going to teach them. They will hear the word of God. And after they heard the word of God, God is going to release Satan again. The Bible says Satan will be loosed again. And he will go and do what he knows how to do. And people will stand and make choice between God and the way of the world. It all starts from today, at the return of Jesus Christ. If you turn to Revelation again, the book of Revelation, chapter 20, from verse 7. So we stopped at 6 and now we're starting at 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, that's like after the Feast of Tabernacles, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is at the sound of the sea. So many people. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. So the camp of the saints, remember Jesus Christ said to his disciples, where I am, there you will be also. So we have the camp of the saints and we have the rest of the world. And when Satan will be loosed, Satan will instigate the armies to go and fight the saints and Jesus Christ. But the Bible says that God will send fire from heaven to devour them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the book were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The book that was opened is the Bible. This book that we use every day. This book that we read from every day. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. This is the book. This is the book that was opened, and God will judge every man according to whatsoever that is written in this book. And God will give everyone his reward. Whatsoever we've done in this world, whether it's good or evil, God will give us our reward. And this day is referred to the eighth day. After the Feast of Tabernacle, we have the eighth day, the last great day at the Feast of Tabernacle. That's when God will judge everyone and give Satan his permanent place. His permanent place. And you will not see death anymore. And you will not see suffering anymore. And all the things that we see today that scare us, that make us afraid, that cause us pain, we'll see them no more. Like Moses said to the people, the Egyptians you see today, you will see them no more. And if you turn to Revelation 21, from verse 1, after God judged the world and removed Satan completely, and look at what the Bible said. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Then I'll go to 12. Then I'll go to 22. Turn to 22, Revelation 22. So in 21, the Bible said, God will wipe away all tears, and all the things we see today, we'll see them no more. The slavery we see going on in the world today, the oppression and suppression we see going on in the world today, sufferings of all forms that we see going on in this world today. There are forms of suffering. There are people that are hungry in this world today. They cannot even afford one meal a day. That's a form of suffering. There are people living with cancer that are suffering in pain every day by day. That's a form of suffering. There are people that are life support. Other people beg them. Other people do everything for them. That's a form of suffering. Forms of suffering. And every day by day, different families lose their loved ones, and people are crying, and the trauma does not go away forever. You still remember your loved one that is dead anytime. But the Bible assures us that when the new heaven and the new earth comes, that God will wipe away all tears. God will wipe away all tears. There will be no sorrow. There will be no crying, there will be no pain, there will be no suffering. These things, those things we call the former things. Just like the Egyptians were behind, those things will remain behind. Moses said to the people, stand still. And that is all we need to do today. Like Mr. Morat said, be ready. Stand still. Stop jumping from one belief to the other. Stand still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord that he will show you today. If we stand still, we will see the Egyptians no more. We need to stand still. We need to hold what we believe very strongly. We need to value it. We need to stay there, trusting God and believing in God. Moses says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord that he will show you today. And that is what we need to do. If we want to be part of the new heaven and the new earth, we need to stand still. We need to keep trusting in God. We need to keep believing. We need to continue doing, ordering our lives according to everything that is written in the scriptures. Not following men. Not following everything we see on the internet. We need to stand still. We need to stand still. And if you turn to Revelation 22, that's like the last verse in the book of Revelation, in the Bible, that's the last verse, the last chapter in the Bible. Revelation 22:1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the street of it. And on either side of the river was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophet sent his angel to show unto his servant the things which must shortly be done. 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Behold, I come quickly, Jesus Christ said. And you are blessed if we keep the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now go to 22:12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Jesus Christ said, I come quickly, and blessed are they that do my commandments. We are talking of life here. This is life. Life is the most expensive thing. I don't think there's anything anybody can offer to you and ask for your life and you will give it. If someone offers you a house worth billions of dollars and asks you, please give me your life, are you going to give your life? You will not give your life. Life is very expensive. And that's what God is giving to us. That's what God is giving to us. The most expensive thing in the universe, that is life. And we must be very careful. We must guard it we must guard it jealously, because we are talking about life and death. And we must make sure that we are doing what God wants us to do. And we must make sure that we are encouraging others to do the right thing, not discouraging others. Because Jesus Christ said that anyone that would cause one of these little ones to offend, that the consequences will be great. Because you are taking someone's life. It's life. You are taking someone's life. If you discourage someone or cause someone to fall away, you are taking someone's life. And Jesus Christ will give us back an equal portion of whatever we've done, as the Bible have said. And I want to go to the area of my message that says, be ready, like the psalmist said. Are we ready? Are we ready? If you turn to... Okay, before we go to be ready, let's go to the book of Numbers 23. Numbers 23, verse 19. Everything we've read about the Feast of Trumpet, Atonement, the Tabernacle, and the 8 day, Jesus Christ said, they are faithful and they are true. These things will happen. And where we read in the book of Daniel, chapter 2 and 28 down, it tells us that the dream is sure and is certain. And look at what Numbers 23 says. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Had he said and shall not do it? Had he spoken and shall not make it good? God is not man that he should lie. God cannot lie. Everything we read here today about God's plan to remove the Egyptians we see today, they will surely come to pass. And the book of Daniel tells us that in the days of this king, meaning that the prophecy and that vision is still for the future. He said, in the days of this king, that God of heaven will establish his kingdom on earth. I don't know who the kings are. I don't know the kingdom, but I know that is still for the future. It has not happened. But it says, while we're still alive, while some people will still be alive, some people will still be in power, some people will still be oppressing others, in the days of these kingdoms, God of heaven will establish his kingdom on earth. And this must surely happen. Nothing will stop it. Nothing will stop it, and nothing can stop it. If you turn to Habakkuk chapter 2, Habakkuk chapter 2, Habakkuk 2 from verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon table, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. This vision is for the future. And though it tarries, the Bible says, it will surely come. It will surely come, though it tarries. Mr. Morales read somewhere in the Bible where it says that the Lord is not lacking concerning his promises, but he is patient and he is waiting. He's giving us enough time to repent and to change from our evil ways. For it does not please God that any should perish. If you turn to the book of Psalms 24, Psalms 24, we have seen God's plan to eradicate pain, to remove pain, to remove suffering, to remove death, to remove Satan completely. But look at what the book of Psalms says. Book of Psalms 24, from verse 3. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is important, but when we need to apply it as well to be part of God's kingdom. Psalms 24, 3. And it says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who had not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Who shall ascend to this mountain? Who shall ascend to this holy hill? He that has clean hands, and he that has a pure heart. Are our hands clean? Are they clean? Like I said in the past, when you look at your hands, you would think that they are clean. But sometimes they look clean, but they are not clean. We must make sure that our hands are clean. We must go back to God every day and ask him to help cleanse our hands, to forgive us, and to cleanse us from all sins. The Bible says, if we say that we have no sins, we make God a liar. We make God a liar. And the Bible also says that our righteousness is filthy rag before God. And the Bible says, he that has clean hands and a pure heart will ascend into the hill of the Lord. Who will be in God's kingdom? Who will be part of the new heaven and the new earth? He who has clean hands. He who has a pure heart. He who does not envy his neighbor. He who does not kill or murder. He who does not deceive. Not a hypocrite. He will ascend the hill of the Lord. He will be part of the first fruit. So when we talk about God's plan, it's also very important to talk about the process of becoming part of God's plan. And this is the process. When the people came out from Egypt, and Moses said to them, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord that he will show you today. And God showed them the salvation. God made a way in the water, divided the Red Sea into two. What did the people do? God asked them to walk on the dry ground, and the people walked on the dry ground. If they had refused to walk on the dry ground, that miracle wouldn't have been complete. For this miracle of a new heaven and a new earth to be complete, we have to be part of it. We have to walk where God asks us to walk. We have to do what God asks us to do. That's how to become part of the new heaven and the new earth. That's how to celebrate the day of trumpets. Because there's no need celebrating what you will not be part of. The real celebration of this day will be if we fear God and keep his commandments. And the Bible says in Psalm 24:3, he who has clean hands and a pure heart. And if you turn to Romans 13, Romans 13:12. And it says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and in envy. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. What we should be doing right now is to get ready, is to be ready to remove the world and to be clothed with Jesus Christ. Turn to 1 John 3. First John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that had this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. If you have hope to be in God's kingdom, You have the hope to be in God's kingdom, to be part of the new heaven and the new earth. The Bible says, everyone that has this hope purified himself. Now is the time to purify our hearts, to cleanse our hands, to be the light that God called us. If you turn to the book of Psalms, Psalms 1. We need to stand still, like Moses said. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord that he will show you. Psalm 1, verse 1. So blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like chaff which the wind drive away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. We know what it means to plant. What it means to plant. A tree that is planted by the rivers of waters. The Bible says, as long as this tree continues to stay by the rivers of waters, that its leaves will continue to be green. But what happens when this tree moves away from the rivers of waters? What happens? We need to stand still. It's planted by the rivers of waters, and his leaves abide green. And this happens as long as this tree remains by the rivers of waters. And this is what God requires of us. God wants us to be planted, our feet to be planted in the doctrine of the Bible, in the faith of Jesus Christ, in the teachings of Jesus Christ, in the commandments of God, planted and rooted and strong. And the Bible says, we shall be like trees planted by the rivers of waters. We know what trees are. The trees are all over the place. You can see them. When the storm comes, the tree stands. When the wind blows, it shakes the tree. But the tree still stands. That is what God expects from us. No matter the storm, no matter the troubles, no matter the discouragement that we face, no matter the things that shake us, we still remain planted and strong by the rivers of waters, which is the word of God. And the Bible assures us that our leaves will remain green. And this is what the kingdom of God offers. A time of no pain, a time of no hunger, no suffering of any form. A time of peace. God will give us peace if we continue to believe, if we stand still and listen to the voice of God. If you turn to John 14, John 14. John 14, 1. So when we see a lot of things going on in the world, sometimes we are troubled and we begin to ask questions. We begin to look for information and knowledge and wisdom. But look at what the Bible says. Jesus Christ said to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. When you see troubles, when you see evil, when you see everything that is going on in the world today, is a time for us to continue to believe in God, to continue to grow our faith in God, to believe in God and to believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, let not your heart be troubled. It's not trouble. It's not a time to be troubled. It's not a time to complain. It's a time to believe in God and it's a time to believe in Jesus Christ. Knowing, having this hope that this day represents, that this day stands for, the day of trumpets, when Jesus Christ will return and remove Satan for 1,000 years. And after 1,000 years, he will remove him again. And he will restore peace on earth. And he will wipe away all tears. And if you turn to the book of Psalms 35, Psalm 30, verse 5. And he said, "For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Joy comes in the morning, and joy will surely come." The book of Numbers said, God cannot lie. And the person that said that was not even a prophet of God. He was called to come and curse the people of God, come and destroy them. But he came and he said, these people are blessed. I cannot curse them because God cannot lie. And whatsoever he says, he will do it. And Habakkuk tells us that this vision, it will surely come. It will tarry. But we must wait for it. And how we wait for it is where the problem lies. How we wait patiently for it. Are we going to be waiting, doing the right thing? Are we going to be waiting, doing the wrong thing? What we do during the time of waiting matters a lot. But Mr. Morales said, are we ready? We need to be ready. God has given us enough time to be ready. Enough time to be ready, especially those of us that are called now. Those of us that are called now to be part of the first fruit, we need to ensure that we are ready. And spiritual life is not the easiest thing. Because when the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, when we sign up to grow spiritually, Satan sees us as an enemy and Satan attacks us from all around. So when you see discouragement, when you see challenges, when you see storms and so on, consider it normal. These are the things we must overcome in order to grow, in order to be part of God's kingdom. But we must keep our eyes on the prize. The prize is God's kingdom. And we know, and that is what we are celebrating today, a day that Jesus Christ will return, a day that that stone will be cut off without hands, and to fall on that image which represents this world, all the lies in this world, all the hypocrisy in this world, all the oppression and suppression in this world, and to grind it into pieces. And there'll be no place for it anymore. And if you turn to Matthew 24, And Jesus Christ said to his disciples, "Therefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." We need to be ready, all of us. We'll not be talking about the world. We have to talk about ourselves. We have to remove the beam in our own eyes before we remove anything in the world. We have to remove the beam in our own eyes. We have to cleanse our own heart. We have to wash our hands clean. That is what the Bible says. If we want to be part of God's kingdom. And if you turn to Luke 18:8, the Bible promises that God will avenge for his people. God will avenge for his people, but Luke 18:8. Say, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? This is the most important question. When Jesus Christ returns to this world, will he find faith? Will he find faith? Will Jesus Christ find faith? Paul said to Timothy, perilous times shall come when men will be lovers of themselves. And he mentioned all the things that will happen. And he says, iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold. And we are seeing all that even in the church today. We see discouragement. We see a lot of trials in and out. Are we going to stand still? Are we going to wait for that salvation of the Lord to come? That is what this day stands for. So, brethren, just a recap that today we are celebrating the return of Jesus Christ. And from the Bible, from the authority of the Bible, I'm telling you that today, the Egyptians you see all around you today, a time will come when you will see them no more. When Jesus Christ returns, and he removes Satan, and he teaches the world how to live in peace, and God will recover the remnants of his people, give them opportunity to hear the word and to do the right thing, and lose Satan again to do his job, and then remove him permanently. And then the Bible says that God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more weeping and gnashing of teeth. And John saw a new heaven and a new earth. And the question today is, are we going to be part? Are we going to be part of the new heaven and the new earth? If we must be part of the new heaven and the new earth, we must ensure that our hands are clean and our hearts are pure. If we do this, brethren, then our hope is real. Then this celebration that we have today is real, because the Bible assures us that God will keep his promises and none of them will fail. And these words that we read today, they are faithful and they are true and they cannot fail.